Amen. God is good. A week from right now, we'll be in South Africa, in Botswana, just north of South Africa. In fact, we will have been to church 4 hours ago. So we are looking forward to that. First time we've been there. We've been to several other African countries, but this is the first time joining Scott and Alana Jennings to support. They've been going for 20 years and have had a very fruitful ministry in a Bible school. So we'll be teaching in their Bible school and preaching evenings and weekend in the churches. And I just want you to pray. In the afternoon, they have a strong children's athletic program that ministers to many people, and the door to many lives is through the children. And so I appreciate your prayer. It's a 7-hour flight to Paris, a 12-hour holdover, then a 10-hour flight to Johannesburg, South Africa, and a 2-hour change and an hour flight up into Botswana, and then a 2.5-hour drive by car from the airport. And when we get there late Saturday night, church on Sunday morning. So it's an endurance contest. But God will give us the strength, I'm sure, and you'll be praying. We appreciate that. We're looking forward to it very much. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 20. I want to share 3 or 4 verses first before I get into the main message. I want to say very clearly, I believe strongly in a philosophy of strength and the ability to relate. For instance, I believe a strong military opens up the door for ambassadorship moves among the countries of the world. And this weekend we're honoring the military, rightfully, for those who have given and still continue to give. And Psalm 25, it says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horse powers." Now that translates into very nice cars and vehicles and horsepower in our day and age. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. And then over to Psalm 33 and verse number 16. "No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety, neither shall it deliver any by its great strength." We have to keep perspective. And then in Psalm 147 and verse number 10, it says, "He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him and those who hope in his mercy." And then in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31, it says, "The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord." And then in Isaiah 31 and verse number 1, it says, "Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because there are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord." We need to pray for our nation. We need a strong military. Thank God for those who serve to protect our nation and to give freedom and provide for freedom. I'm glad that today that theme is very strong and renewed and strengthened in our nation. But at the same time, we need to know that that only guards us and protects us for the greater message of the message of peace, the message of Jesus Christ, the message that all things come by His preparation of the heart and mind of a nation for Him. And I don't know about you, but I'm praying faithfully and fully these days in the name of Jesus for a great revival to hit our nation in the midst of disunity, that vitriolic speech will not prevail, but that the magnification of Almighty God will be restored strongly to our nation. And we are the progenitors of that. We are the ones who lead the way. And I pray for the 10,000 communities of like faith. I don't know how many there are in the country, but I like to think, and I believe there are 10,000 of congregations like ours. Not very big, not very large. 93% of the congregations of the world are 120 people or less. And in those congregations together, if they walk in revival, there is an underground strength that is the message that we can take to the nations. And things have been got a little upside down in the world, but God is in control. And that's why I like today, I like to speak on the subject, what is unshakable cannot be shaken. Or what can be shaken will be shaken. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles now to Hebrews chapter 12. The writer of Hebrews wrote to the believers in the first generation church about the fact that God had come in the person of Jesus Christ, and that a marvelous new better way, that if the old covenant was glorious, how much better is the new covenant of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. It says in verse number 18, "But you have not come to the mountain which may be touched, that may be touched, and that burn with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned for or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling." That characterizes any message, any ministry, which has not come into the awesome power of the new covenant of Jesus Christ. The old covenant message was based on fear and trembling and works performance. And they were afraid. They said, Moses, you go up on the mountain. Don't let us get near it. You know, we're in the New Testament. All of us can come into the mountain of God. And we're not afraid. We fear no man except respect the Lord. And in this reality, we are seeing today that there are great shakings taking place in the world. But brothers and sisters, as Christians, you and I don't have to be shaken. We have an unshakable God. We have an unshakable Lord. Thank you. We have an unshakable kingdom. And in this unshakability promise, we do not have to give in to fear and anxiety and distrust. This morning when the men gathered, they laid hands on myself and prayed. And one of the brothers prophesied over me that as we go, we were to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, to make our requests be known to God, and that the peace of God would keep our hearts and minds. You know, that's a great fundamental principle of the Christian life, that we serve an unshakable God. I remember the first time I took my wife on an airplane trip to New Orleans. And she was filled with fear. And she overcame the fear, got on the plane, and sat next to the window. And so she could sit next to the window. I sat in the middle. And I believe that one of the largest ladies I've ever seen came and sat on the next seat. And I was between her and my wife. And I'll let her go at that. There wasn't much room. And but halfway through the trip to New Orleans, getting over the area of Carolina, I went into a slump. And they actually took down the large airplane and rushed me to the hospital. And I realized that I could say forever that I single-handedly brought down an airplane. But you know, and then we got on a flight later, and after all the tests, everything was okay. You know, there are many things in life, you know, things that can shake. I was shaken that day. There was something that caused a shaking. So even as we get on the plane, we're trusting that our unshakable God is going before us. Now, when we translate this into life, the first point I want to say is God has an unshakable kingdom. Now we're reading in verse number 25. Verse 22, rather. But you have come to the Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood, the sprinkling, the blood that speaks of better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving in the present and continuous mode, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And so the first point I want to make today, that God has an unshakable kingdom that we're a part of. That's fundamental to giving you a little formulas for how to conquer life. This is the great foundational truth, that our life is built upon the unshakable reality of our God. Turn back to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13 for a moment. It says in Daniel chapter 7 that Daniel received a vision. He said, I was watching, verse 13, 7:13, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Daniel saw that God promised there would be a kingdom given to the sons of men. And then we come down to verse number 17, where he says, there were four great beasts. We know that probably referred to Babylon and Assyria and Greece and Rome. But he says that in verse number 21, I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. And he goes on to talk about, like in that this there shall be those who speak vile. But in verse 26, but the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion and consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions shall serve and obey him. I'm thankful today that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm thankful that God, the unshakable God, has given us an unshakable kingdom with unshakable promises. When we behold him and embrace that and walk in faith and faithfulness and obedience to God, is the basis of our life. Over in John chapter chapter 18 and verse 36, we find that 18:36, we find these words by Jesus. He says in verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here." And so Pilate said, "Well, you say rightly that I..." You say, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus said, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world. And everyone who hears truth hears my voice." Amen? And then one more verse, Luke chapter 17, and verse number 20. Luke 17:20, he says, "And when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here, see there, but indeed the kingdom of God is within you.'" Now, God's kingdom is of a different nature than the kingdoms of the world. But it's an unshakable kingdom. And everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Even for us, if we adopt the world, the way of the world, it shall be shaken. But in Christ, things can stay in an unshaken condition. Now, how many remember Eric Liddell? He was the famous Flying Scotsman of the movie Chariots of Fire. And he loved to run. He said, "God's given me the grace to run. I can run like the wind." And that scene about him running down the beach, just a powerful vision. And he was called before the Olympic Committee, where he made a request that they not require him to have to run on the Sabbath, because he wanted to honor the Sabbath. And when he appealed to those, and they voted against him, he didn't run. He took a stand for his convictions. And he read Psalm 40, verses 15 and 17, which says, "Behold, the nations are like a drop in the bucket, which are regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. Behold, he lifts up the islands like fine dust. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are regarded by him as less than nothing and meaningless." He's talking to powerful people who had his destiny in their hand as far as that experience. Verse 22 says after that, "It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. It is he who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown, scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth, but he merely blows on them, and they wither, and the storms carry them away like stubble." You know, many think that history is careening out of control, and people are desperately trying to grab the reins. God has the reins. There was a story in the West Oregon newspaper, which was the title of the first Christian church program in the paper, and they wrote the title of the that was supposed to have been put in was "Our God Reigns," but they misspelled it and said "Our God Resigns." You know, God hasn't resigned. He reigns. Now, that was a typographical error, but for some people, I think it's more than a typographical error. It's the philosophy of their life. And so, here we see ourselves. He says in Psalm 46, which Eric Lido also quoted, "Remember this and show yourself like men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former thing of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times that are not done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will bring it to pass. I have proposed, and I will do it." And he was speaking about the fact that God is going to bring Babylon to judge Israel, to bring chastisement to the nation of Israel. Literally today, we're still living in fear of Babylon, living in fear of Iran and other forces of the Near East. Our stability is in the Lord. Now, the next point I want to say is this. Because Hebrews 12 was quoting Haggai chapter 2, where the Lord of hosts said, "Once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory." And then the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, "Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake heaven and earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile nations. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and their riders shall come down, everyone by the sword of his brother." Now, these are very strong words. But he was speaking of his confidence in God. Zerubbabel was the grandson of Jehoiakim, the last ruler of Judah, before Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Jerusalem. And he was along with Nehemiah and Ezra and others. Zerubbabel was leading a small remnant of 50,000 people back to Jerusalem to rebuild and reestablish the temple. And so the prophet was speaking of a day when the Lord would restore. But meanwhile, I want to say this today, that God shakes what is shakable. We like to blame the devil. The devil's shaking my life. Or my relatives are shaking my life. Or my spouse is shaking my life. Or, other things are shaking life. And we tend to deflect things away from the truth that God is the one who does the shaking. Now, this is really a tender point. But let me ask you this. If you have a hidden sin or something in your life that's going to destroy you, undermine the foundation of Christ in your life, would you rather it be revealed sooner or much later? Now, what is the tendency of most human beings? Procrastinate the judgment. Procrastinate the accountability. Lord, protect me from the problems I'm having right now. But there's no repentance. And my wife and I have learned, and I'm sure you've learned by this time, that it's more important to invite the shaking of God sooner than to experience it later. Sometimes I could go for even weeks and months and not take accountability for some things. Or a few days, a couple of weeks, and then a few days. And Linda and I have learned, even in our own conflicts, that usually within an hour we'll adjust. And that's much better than pushing marriage conflicts way down the road. Some of us are living in denial. Some of us are pretending everything's okay. A house divided against itself cannot stand. It takes humility. It takes cohesion. It takes unity. And to stand together and to not let things be procrastinated. In the early years of our marriage, I didn't come to a solution until about 7-8 years into our marriage. I struggled. We struggled. And I had a tendency to avoid and responsibility dealing with conflicts. And, you know, it wasn't productive. The thought of having to sit down for counsel for someone else was just too hindering to my pride. And to be able to submit to that. But I remember the day after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was with some brothers and I said, I need some help to understand how to be a better husband, how to be more romantic. And you know, Floyd Baker Sr. was used of the Lord to set me down and teach me how to be a little bit more romantic. Now, Linda, hopefully I'll become a lot more romantic. But, you know, you tend to be kind of analytical, and men just kind of, you can handle things. And our wife is looking for a kind word, a loving word, you know, something that's a little more romantic, and to be able to feel that love. Don't procrastinate, men. And wives, don't procrastinate. Don't be stubborn. You know, there are people that are good sounding boards. You could just sit down and experience them as a sounding board. And a little wisdom, a little correction, a little correlation. I can see couples in the room today that said, Linda Thurlow, can we come over and sit down? And we became a sounding board as they talked about their marriage and the adjustments that needed to take place. Some took it, some didn't. But you know what? That's a helpful way to come into the place where things are less shakable. God will shake everything that can be shaken. Now, the third thing I want to say, what are some things in life that cause a shaking? Well, we know everything of the flesh destroys the foundation. We're to build on the rock of Jesus Christ and to live in the Spirit. Those who live in the Spirit will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That which is of the flesh will undermine everything. A marriage, family, personal life, a church, anything, a culture. And our culture today is yielding to the flesh everywhere. The preponderance of the flesh is awesome everywhere. And it's undermining our country. What is of the flesh will cause things to be shaken. What else causes things to be shaken? That which has no spiritual foundation in Christ can be shaken. It says in 1 Corinthians 3, we've laid the foundation which is Christ. Now take heed how you build thereupon. It says in the same passage, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13, the fire will test every man's work. And that which is of gold, silver, and precious stones will endure. But that which is wood, stay, and wood, hay, and stubble shall be burned up. Some say, well, that's the bema seat at the end of life. No, that's every day, every week, every month, that there's a cycle of life experience where God comes and in the fire experiences, we will be judged. And that which is gold, silver, and precious stones will endure. Amen? Now, there's an ultimate one, too. Let's not put it all down to the ultimate. Let's deal with it in a present-day experience as we walk with the Lord. A third thing is what only is of the soul can be shaken. The Bible says the Word of God discerns between the soul and the spirit. It's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There's a division in God's Word between soul power and spiritual power. Now, that which is built merely on soul power. I like someone who heard today that David's soul was renewed. And our soul needs renewing for sure. But our soul powers are intellect, emotion, and will. You have an emotional response in worship, but by Tuesday it's gone. You have a mental comprehension, but you lose the remembrance of that mental comprehension. You make a willful decision to live a certain way, and then you forget the will, and your willpower wasn't sufficient. The soulish powers are important, but they're not sufficient. It's when we yield body, intellect, emotion, and will to the Holy Spirit And we live in the Holy Spirit and powers of communion and conscience and what God teaches us by revelation through the Word. It's in that element that we have empowerment for every aspect of our being, including our soul. And so Mark 8 says, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If a man loses his own soul, if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul." You know, our soul can be lost. And if we only build on our soul powers, if we only build on psychological precepts, which is what the world does. They offer you psychology. They have thousands of books of psychology, thousands of psychologists and psychiatrists. A whole world is moving on trying to understand victory in life through psychology. And completely ignore the kingdom of God, what it means that your human spirit is able to have victory greater than what your soul can produce. And so I'm saying that for us as Christians, what is only of the soul can be shaken. Can you hear what I'm trying to say? And fourthly, conformity to the world allows for shaking. It says in Corinthians 2, "Do not be conformed to this world." Well, that's Romans 12, 2. "But the natural mind cannot see the things of the gospel. Do not be conformed to this world." And so I'm saying that when we allow our lives to be conformed to this world, we're in the world but not of the world, it sets up situations where we can experience shaking. Because not built upon the right foundation. And so someone might say, "I've been feeling some weakness today, so I've been kind of sick the whole time I've been here. So Lord, give me strength right now. I'm kind of sweating profusely, but I was before." May the Lord give us a revelation that conformity to this world opens up the door of things that can be shaken. I tell you. Companies used to do this, I don't know if they still do, but they demand your soul completely for a company. I like Herb Sutter. He said, "I will not give my soul to my company. I'll leave my soul and my spirit to the Lord." He was an elder in our church. He's retired now to Ohio. And he would say, "We need to put parameters. We're not going to let our company..." And when the company demands this, I say, "Well, that's fine. If I need to lose my job over it, I will. But I'm not going to work ridiculous hours. I'm not going to yield my soul to you. I'm going to stand for my family and for what is powerful and do what is right." And, you know, God always honored him. It's amazing. When you stand in the face of principalities and powers and the declaration of your soul, trusting God, they will often and usually bend to the truth of what you have to say. We just have to have courage to say it. Number five. My wife used to talk about me when I was a young pastor. I've been pastoring 55 years, so she said, "You know, you need to quit giving so much time to your mistress and pay more attention to me and the family." Of course, you know what she meant by the mistress? It was the church. I was so involved in the church and this and that and the next thing that I was being consumed and as a pastor-holic in the work of the church, I didn't have time for my wife and family. And literally she would say that. Not often, but four or five times. And eventually I got the message. You know, she used to say things to me like, "You know, Thurlow, family time is very important when the kids are small." She would say, "You know, we've got to have family times." "I know, but I'm so busy." "We've got to have family times." And then she finally said it in such a way that it made sense to me. And here's what she said to me. "When you get older, you're not going to have any memories of your children and family if you don't start making memories." Now, that's a mathematical calculation. I got it. And we began to do things. And from that point on, I began to say, "Oh, it's not about me being busy and not having time. It's about making memories in my life, our life, our children's lives." And today when we get together, our families just talk about all the memories, all the things. They remember all those things. And so I had to repent, a change of mind, at least a change of heart, that leads to a change of conviction, that leads to a change of at the knees to pray, and a change to my feet to walk it out. That's repentance. And so in that, we don't allow conformity to the world. Secondly, or next, number five, atheistic agnosticism leads to shaking. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. For the young people, do not give way to this internet phenomena of young people that are coming out and declaring themselves as atheists and agnostics. It's a lie. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And they're choosing a way that will lead only to disaster and shaking. Number six, enmity and striving leads to shaking. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is peaceable, first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And so, brothers and sisters, we want to be careful about enmity and striving. If you feel yourself being alienated from those important to you, and you're striving, then judge yourself. Let it be a barometer to notify you that things are getting cold and you need to warm up the atmosphere through love and the fruit of the Spirit. And number seven, arrogance and argumentation lead to shaking. 1 Samuel 2:3. Let not arrogance come from your mouth. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is hatred of sin. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. And Luke 12. I have come to give peace on the earth, Jesus said. Do you suppose I've come to give peace on the earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. And when we walk on the things of the Lord, there will be division, but we don't have to fight. There may be division between ungodly friends and relatives and family versus those who are, you know, wanting to serve God. But you don't have to fight. You don't have to arrogate. You don't have to argue and so forth in those situations. Amen? Because it'll produce a shaking. I'll guarantee you. What you sow is what you reap. When you sow peace, peace comes back. When you sow love, love comes back. And in that kind of situation, we learn how to walk in the unshakable way. I have a lot more to say, but my next main point, I'll just give it. God is able to heal things that have shaken us. God is able to heal things that have shaken us. Bad memories, emotional scars, sexual abuse, bad childhood, broken homes, bad feelings toward others, a root of bitterness, offenses of the past, broken trust, binding habits like drugs and pornography and drunkenness, sexual perversion, addictions, bad habits like gossip, slander, laziness, temper, filthy tongue, rebellious music, obsessions, fears, phobias, lusts, unforgiveness, jealousy, greed, success, revenge, past failure, immorality that still haunts a person, abortion, a child out of wedlock, violated trust by friend or family, or a guilt that will not go away, or doubt, agnosticism, atheism, confusion, depression, or dead religious experience that gives no peace, seems empty, cold, and yet binding. This list, by the way, is in the new Ram's Horn. You want that list? Read the Ram's Horn. The truth is that God is able to heal everything that has caused shaking in your life. Don't live in the BC. Live in the AD. Don't live in the way it was. Live in the new covenant, fulfillment and completeness of Jesus Christ. I have a lot more that was good, but I need to quit. Well, the quitting is good. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God.